When I think of the love God has for us, for the universe, for all of life, how amazing the love must be that it could incorporate everything from a blade of grass to a hummingbird to the cosmos, to the galaxy, to each one of us that has been accorded a place in divine creation as a child of God. When you think of the love you have for your children, you can think about that love and feel, if human love could be so great, how much greater is divine love? Even when your children don't show up the way you would hope they do, they could drift onto the wild side or become estranged from you for whatever reason, or perhaps they would have health issues that would challenge their life. All of the many, many things you would not wish for them. And yet, your love is always there in place. Let's place that love onto the love of God unconditionally. Last time, we spoke about the wisdom and the intelligence of the heart and how it provides our ability to receive as well as to give back into life. Previous to this, we spent weeks on the subject of receiving because it's a very, very challenging subject for most of us. It would have to be, and I'll give you evidence right now, the obvious, evident proof that we're all having trouble with receiving is our universe is filled with treasures, and yet we go hungry. All of humanity has provided amazing potential that's untapped, and yet we go without meaningful careers or opportunities to serve or participate. Why? Is it because God is stingy, nature is stingy, other people are just so competitive, they're stingy? I don't think so. I really don't think so. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't stingy people in the world. There are, but even they're looking for assistance. No one has a scoop big enough to scoop up all the treasures that have been made available to us. People are looking for help all over the world. They're looking for help. They're wanting help. They're seeking assistance. Maybe they don't have enough to offer you yet in the way of wages, but my goodness, whole empires have been built upon people who were willing to work for what they could get on the basis of profit sharing in the future. When there's an ability to receive, there's an ability to perform and to utilize and to make the most of our life. One of the things I could use as an analogy is that when we become challenged with an illness, shall we say, it could be some serious pathological disease, or it could be just the flu or a cold or something like that, a little touch of food poisoning or some bad bug bite. We notice one thing. We lose our appetite. We don't feel like eating. And sometimes if we force it, we lose our meal because the body just doesn't want to receive. And the interesting thing about that, the reason it doesn't want to receive, well, there are two big reasons why. One is it needs to turn its energy toward elimination. Elimination of pathogens or some kind of toxic substance that you've taken into your body. The whole process of elimination is what your body is turning its attention on. And then, in the process of recovering, it really couldn't utilize more food. It doesn't want more food. It's trying to focus upon healing and eliminating. Now, in our larger life, this is one of the reasons, or two of the reasons, that we also don't receive. We need to eliminate a lot of what we took into our life that is no longer working for us, that we need to forgive or release on some other level in some other way. We need to heal, and then we need to embrace our life with love. Those actions sometimes need to precede our ability to receive. We need to get through those points of elimination. Why don't we do this? Why, you might say, Glenda, well, if something has been bad for us, why don't we eliminate? Well, something that was bad for us might have been a career we really wanted or someone we really loved. And we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, as the old parable goes, the old saying goes. And so we cling to that which we love and not eliminate that which is no longer serving us. Well, you actually can discern. Your heart has the ability to discern. That is your highest wisdom. And for that reason and a number of other reasons, including the fact that I received a lot of positive feedback about our message last week, I'm going to spend the next few weeks focusing especially on each one of these central areas of the Sacred Heart and how under greater understanding and greater healing in that area can allow us to receive and use the blessings that are already around us. Now, the first one of those areas is unity. And when we speak of unity, we're speaking of everything. That includes the hurricanes. It includes the tsunamis. It includes the rattlesnakes. It includes the tigers and the mosquitoes. Oh, Lord, I wish it didn't include mosquitoes, but I'm sure God has a reason for those little creatures to be here. But it includes literally everything. And it includes a matrix in which everything has a place. Now, in our life, our individual life, we also have a unified field that is smaller. Let's call it our personal universe, just so we're using easier terms, okay? Each one of us has a personal universe. And then, on a little larger scale, our family has its own universe. That's what makes us a family instead of an open community where just anybody walks in and has the same degree of social and emotional intimacy. So we have a little family universe. And then if you live in a part of the country that has, especially that has its own ethnic vibration, such as, Mobile, Alabama, or, and I know you guys don't want to hear this, but New York City is actually quite ethnic. I know. I lived there off and on for many years, and I would adapt to the New York vibration, and it's not like anything else. And I know you like to think you're the hub of the world, and in many ways you are, but you still have the Big Apple universe. That's your universe. That's quite different from upstate New York or San Francisco, which is its own little universe. And I love the universe of the wine country, the Marin County of California. Oh, it's so great. It reminds me of the days I owned a vineyard. And then we've got the mountain universe around the Rocky Mountains, and it's just glorious. I think you're catching on to what I'm talking about now. So, yes, there are different spheres of unity that we belong to. And inside, in the most sacred part of that unity, is our inner unity, our place with God, where we can love God with all our heart and find our place in the largest position of unity that allows us to move interchangeably from one of these little universes to another and find our little place of belonging in that universe. Finding our place in unity is a really, really big part of the function of the Sacred Heart, because it allows us to find that place within our life where the hub of the wheel turns and touches every other place. It allows us to understand why there have to be sometimes rainstorms. Nature needs the water. Why there need to be hot days and then at another time cold days. Why we need the change of seasons. It helps us to understand our waking hours and why it really is good to be fully awake. And then when we sleep, it's so good to be deeply asleep. The Sacred Heart touches all of these phases of our life and finds them all worthy and beneficial. And it also teaches us about unconditional love and what that really, really is. Unconditional love is not about allowing others to abuse you and saying, well, I guess it's okay. I just need to love them no matter what and let them have their way because they know not what they do. And Yeshua said, turn the other cheek. And he said, well, you know, if they step on you in one way, just forgive them. He really didn't say that in that way. When he gave these lessons about turn the other cheek, he was actually speaking to apostles, not the public. He was speaking to apostles who were actually furious that the Romans were slaughtering Jews. They wanted to fight. They wanted to be warriors on behalf of their people, especially Peter, who was a feisty son of a gun until he experienced his transformation later on. He was a big fighting fisherman, and by golly, he wanted to get that knife out. And Yeshua said, he who fights by the sword will die by the sword. He was teaching his apostles, okay, and he was teaching them about forgiveness. He was educating them on how to live in a world that's hostile and how if you fight, you're just going to get more of it. And these lessons are absolutely true. But these were not lessons about unconditional love. Okay? I'll tell you the lessons that were about unconditional love. One was to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. The other was to love your fellow man or your neighbor, as he, in the words he chose to use, as yourself. Also, a very lovely one of my favorites, whatsoever you've done to the least of these, you've done to me. Now, you know why that's one of my favorites, if not my very favorite? Because it acknowledges the field of unity. In other words, he's saying, I am one with everything. You give a toy to a child or a hug to a shut-in, and you've given it to me. Because I'm one with everything. and when he was teaching us to love one another. He wasn't teaching us to indulge one another with abuse or misbehavior. He was just telling us to take turns, to have empathy and compassion, and to realize that we are all part of one larger, unified field. Sometimes, today, it may be somebody else's turn to get something they're praying for. But when we're happy for them, we participate in their achievement and their abundance. And it allows us to be part of a unified field that will come back to us tomorrow. When we participate in the unity of life, the unity of life participates with us. God loves everything and everyone. As Solomon said in beautiful words, he makes the sun to shine on the beggars and the thieves as well as the kings and the rich men. He rains, he pours the rain on all the fields. Not only do the fertile crops get the rain, but the weeds get the rain. God provides to us by providing for unity. And when we participate in unity and we find our place in it, we are more able to receive our blessings more appropriately, with less delay in their coming, and more fullness and richness as they do come. Because we not only get our personal blessings, but we have the collateral enjoyment of seeing those around us blessed more fully. Now, how does this relate to the Christ blessing? Well, I want to tell you that I have received many, many letters from blessing givers as well as receivers who come on Sunday to receive. And they've told me so often, I didn't really get what I prayed for. I felt really good while the blessing was going on. But my son was healed, and my husband got the job that he wanted. And then, because they were doing better, my stress level fell down. It got lower and lower. And a couple of weeks later, I got my prayer answered. You see, sometimes it just has to work that way. And this is why it really behooves us to include others in our prayers and to include in our prayers thoughts of forgiveness and release that lower our attachment to negativity. How much more can you be blessed if you are, if let's say your universe, well, to use an analogy I would use, you know, Yeshua used lots and lots of fishing and agricultural parables because that's the world he lived in. I live in a world of creativity, and I wish I were painting more. It's been quite a while because of the surgery on my hand and the moving before that, but I'm sitting here looking at a painting that I painted, and I remember I was struggling with something in the painting. I just could not resolve it, and I realized the reason I couldn't resolve that problem in the painting is I was attached to something somewhere else in my life that I was fighting. I was really, really mad about being mistreated by some, I won't go into the details, but I felt mistreated by something. And then over on the other side, I had not received some income I was expecting, and I was really worried about how to compensate for that and get some more money in to pay the bills. So I had all of these negative attachments, including the fact that because of those things, I wasn't sleeping well, so I didn't have all the creative energy I needed. And so I just said, well, I'm not going to paint as long as I've got this negative energy. I went out. I got rid of those problems, partly by releasing, partly by forgiving, partly by just cutting the cord and saying, okay, you get to have your way. I don't care. I would much rather let you have the pleasure of getting your way than to stay in this fight. I don't want this fight anymore. I'm going to cut my losses. You go have a happy life. Done deal. Go over here, solve that problem, go back here, solve that problem, get a good night's sleep. I come into the studio, and in 5 minutes, I've got the painting solved. That's often the way it works, my friends. And it's because we are part of our own unified field. And so often, the problem that we're chewing on just can't be resolved until collateral issues are solved. That's where the wisdom of unity has to come into place in the answering of prayers, the receiving of blessings, and the fulfillment of our life. We have to attend to the whole field of our life and take a little time to call your friends. Who haven't you spoken to lately that you love? What wonderful endeavors have you not contributed to lately? And you'd love to, but you haven't because you've been too busy and your attention has been on something that just keeps drawing your attention. Remember the old adage, the squeaky wheel gets attention? Well, I want to tell you something. That's your mind, and that gives me a wonderful opportunity to bring up the difference between your lower mind and your higher mind. Now, your higher mind is your consciousness, and the hub of that consciousness is your sacred heart. And the hub of your sacred heart is unity, your unified field. Okay, but now your mind, your worldly mind, was created for one purpose only, and then various specializations of that one purpose. That one purpose was to survive in this physical world. And that survival demands lots of practical applications of experience, such as telling your body what to do, telling your body how to avoid danger, etc. The other thing is problem solving. And problem solving is a very, very polarized activity. It's just like if you were writing the script for a movie, you would have a protagonist and an antagonist. Without that challenge and engagement of good and evil, it wouldn't be a very interesting story. That's what stories are built out of. And the worldly mind loves those stories. It engages with those stories. And it builds the part of you that's the protagonist that is engaged with the antagonist of your problems. And it learns from its struggles. It learns from its achievements. And all of this is good. But inside of this worldly mind, the squeaky wheel always gets the attention. And if you don't have the higher good sense to take your attention off of that, then you're not giving yourself an opportunity to reach into the greater benevolence of the Creator, the greater benevolence of all the blessings around you, the joy of everything around you, the healing potential of everything that is being provided for you. Instead, you're going to be inside your worldly story, gathering more experience that comes from tangling with challenge, solving problems, getting the next little edge on the cliff of survival, finding your foothold in that cliff, finding some edge of victory, or crying over some little pitfall of defeat. You'll be like the Olympic athlete. You know, the glory of victory, the agony of defeat. That's the temporal mind. That's what it's engaged with all the time, which is why we have to let go of it just to be able to sleep. And the two biggest problems in the world, health-wise, I don't know about the rest of the world, but I know in America, the two biggest health problems we have got that are the baseline of our other health problems are insomnia and overweight. Both of them are rooted in spending too much time with this temporal beta brain. Because the beta brain is going to drive your cortisol levels up, it's going to keep your adrenaline up, and all of these things are going to require more and more sugar, more and more refined food. It's going to keep your appetite almost into an addictive mode, to where you're consuming things that are not nourishing you. And on the other level, because you're dealing with stress and this temporal mind, you're going to be in your beta wavelength, your beta brain, which does not allow you to sleep. It doesn't even allow you to relax. There are many anecdotes to that. One of them, a great one, is meditation. Another is to stop all the worries of the world by a certain set time that's, let's say, 4 hours before bedtime. Do something else. Just do something else. Read a book. Meditate, pray, be with your friends. By all means, don't be with people you argue with. Just be outside your beta brain. Allow this beautiful, joyful, benevolent field of unity to come over you like a soft baby blanket and wrap you in it, so that you can have sweet dreams and deep recovery and wake up for a fresh day. Now, as we go into our blessing today, I hope that you have found some spirit of recovery and you've located the bliss and the joy of this field of unity for yourself. This is where we will take you in the blessing. And if all you receive from the blessing today is just that experience of unity, that experience of bliss and release and receiving, that's enough, because it will have taken you into the field of unity where in the coming days your other needs will be met. You may, in the coming days, be able to offer to others answers to their desires and needs, and provide a greater, more loving presence in the world, which then will come back to you as collateral blessing. This is the wisdom, the joy, and the blessing of unity. And this is really, truly the key to unconditional love. Unconditional love is not sleeping with the rattlesnake. It's understanding that the rattlesnake belongs somewhere in life. And we can love a universe that finds a place for everything. And we can be in a state of unity that is also a state of grace. And in that state of grace, we can find forgiveness, release, and find ways of receiving that which God has been offering for us, saving for us, hoping for us and providing for us, because even in the womb, we were known by our Creator and have always been known by our Creator. You are a child of God. And would any father not give to his child what she or he most needs and requires? So I leave you with that thought. And now let's get ready for our blessing. Be seated, your arms and legs uncrossed. Allow your attention to just fall into your heart. You don't have to take any particular meditative position. Just be comfortable with your head pointed upward, your feet on the ground. Remember, we're drawing energy from the earth as well as the cosmos, and we're centering it in the heart. Allow your attention to fall into your heart. As soon as I've completed my invocation to Yeshua, the blessing givers and I will begin to conduct this special energy that God has prepared for you and for all humanity, that you may more easily receive the blessings He has already intended for you. During that time, be in your prayer, whatever prayer means to you, whatever prayer is to you. For you, it could be silence. It could be going into the deep spaces of your heart. It could be praying aloud. Don't worry, you won't disturb anyone else. Whatever prayer is for you, begin your prayer as soon as I have completed mine. Beloved Yeshua, who has come to this earth to be as we are, for only that is perfect, pure love, to teach us that in being as others are, in the wholeness of how all things are, we are united with God, our Creator. Thank you for giving us truly the lesson of unity, that as we love one another, we are loving God. We are loving you and receiving your love, not only directly, but through others and through other ways and all the other ways you've provided for us. We thank you for your love today. We find your sweetness in our heart, and we are ready to receive your gifts, your blessing, your healing, your help, your answers, and your motivation where we need just a little nudge. We thank you for this and all that you shall give and so much more. Amen. Your blessing is complete. Now go and rest. But in that rest, do not think. Do not bring your worldly mind into where you are and how you're perceiving your blessings. Just assimilate them, rest, and receive. And it's okay if you fall asleep, but be there for at least 7 minutes. I look forward to being with you again next week. Bye-bye for now.